following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Dockers and Coles present Survival Tips with Bear Grylls.
Whatever wild you find yourself in, the right clothes will help you survive. Whether it's a desperate search for food or the equally important need to make sure any first impression is a good one. Surviving a sub-zero mountaintop or the hot glare of your boss reviewing your presentation. If your wild is everyday life, you need Dockers khakis.
Dockers signature khaki, now with staying power technology. Available at Kohl's and Kohl's.com. Dockers, wear the pants.
A pleather jacket for $600? That's what you call a bad synthetic deal. If you're looking for a great synthetic deal, just head over to Napa. They've got 5 quarts of Napa synthetic motor oil, plus a Napa silver oil filter for just $19.99. It's a great deal for synthetic motor oil, and that's the best kind of oil you can buy. So hurry over to Napa this month. Pick up the $19.99 synthetic oil chain special. But don't let the name fool you. It's a real deal at participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Sale price does not include applicable state and local taxes or recycling fees.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev. Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome to the Doug and Danny Show Tuesday edition, where the men's college basketball season has come to an end. The women play their national championship tonight, and Louisville is your national champion. So I can stand and say I was wrong this year. Louisville never folded. I thought this was a team that somewhere would trip up. Knew they were a good team, but I thought somewhere, not egos, but just the way they played would catch up with them. Well, they played excellent basketball pretty much throughout the tournament, even though they had to come from behind double digits in the first half of both of the final four games. Great basketball game last night. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk with the winner of our Doug and Daddy Tournament Challenge, our Bracket Challenge. We're going to talk with Alex Myers of Golf Digest now that we turn our attention towards the Masters. And Damon Day's in with us because I guess for some reason you guys aren't playing today.
Yeah, Missouri Western wasn't tough enough to come up and play today, and they said that they didn't feel the conditions were right, and I kind of disagreed with them. But they said it's something about being cold and wet, and I was like, well, this is a beautiful April day in Kearney, Nebraska. But no, I just you can only laugh about it anymore.
Yeah, probably could have played some ball yesterday.
There's NCAA rules against that.
Oh, I'm just saying temperature-wise.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's...
I'm not saying move it
no,
around.
No, that's this time of year. You know, you get a day like yesterday, and now it's literally, what they say, 9 degrees out right now with the wind chill, and now the danger is people being frozen in their house because of the spit that's starting to freeze. And I mean, it's... You just... You know what? Baseball's just a game, and it's what I do for a living, but gosh... You just can't catch a break sometimes with the weather. I mean,
I was frozen in my house, but I tunneled out, and it was cool. Yeah. But the bottom line is Missouri Western now helping lead the league, lead the MIAA here, 21-2 in the conference. I find it hard to believe because it was Central Missouri that you broke the long winning streak with earlier this season. Man, I'm surprised that there are a couple as balanced. This is supposed to be at the top. I'm surprised that there are so many dominant, even just two dominating conference records like those two teams have.
Yeah, you know, they are definitely both world. You know, I've said earlier there's four World Series teams. There's four teams that could go to could have an opportunity to go to the World Series this year in the MIAA, and obviously those two are the top ones. But you know, Missouri Western kind of reminds me a lot of like we were in 2011. They got about 17 seniors. I don't even think they start anybody that's not a senior on their rot. Maybe one guy is not a senior, but they're a good ball club, and I'm hoping upon hope that if things work out, we'll get in on Thursday.
We've got a 50-inch HD TV from Russell's Appliance in Kearney. It is the best grand prize of any sports talk show bracket challenge in the state. I am confident that I can say that this is the best prize, best grand prize to the bracket challenge. We want to thank Russell's, and we want to thank all the other fine folks that we'll talk about here in a little bit that have donated and have given their prizes to our bracket challenge. But Louisville brought it home, and that means Gale Jones, Hastings, Nebraska, is the champion of the Doug and Daddy Bracket Challenge, one of just two that had Louisville and Michigan in the championship game. Gale, welcome to On the Air here at the Doug and Daddy Show, and congratulations for being our grand prize champion.
Thank you.
Now, is this the first time you've ever won a basketball challenge or any type of a pool?
It's the first time I've ever finished first in something like this, yes.
Well, you know, we always want to know, did you just fill out one, or are you a guy that fills out multiple brackets?
I only did one for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Well, did you do some other ones that didn't fare so well in other ones?
I did some others, and I haven't won anything on any of those.
Well, you won the one that matters here. Take me through just a little bit your thought process when you were filling out your bracket. You had Louisville, but somehow you had Michigan in there. Nobody with the way the brackets went had a great Elite Eight or a Final Four, but you had Michigan playing Florida, you had Louisville advancing on. Tell me what your thought process was when you were filling your bracket out.
Well, you know, Michigan probably had a lot to do with being a Big Ten team. You know, I think that probably had more influence on me than anything that I really knew in particular about them. You know, Louisville, they're a team that, number one seed overall in the tournament, so I guess I don't look like any real genius by picking them. So, but other than that, you know, it was kind of just go through and pick them. And I suppose if it hadn't been for all the upsets, I wouldn't have had a prayer of winning this, but... with all the upsets and everything happened, I just got lucky.
Well, and I look at your bracket here. You didn't pick a whole bunch of upsets. Probably one that got you some points and got you towards the top early on was getting Oregon to the Sweet 16. But outside of that, when you got to the Sweet 16, that was really the only long shot that you had going. So congratulations on that. Do you know what you're going to do? You got a spot already picked out for the television?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that won't be an issue at all. I was kind of shocked just exactly how big of a Louisville fan I became in just a couple of hours.
Did you get nervous watching the game last night when they were behind in the first half?
A little bit. It was a great basketball game though. I mean, it really was. So, but yeah, I was a little bit nervous, but you know, it ended up working out, and so that's great. That's super.
Well, Gale, we just want to say, and I do want to say that he did have Butler in the Final Four, so it's not like Gale's a genius.
That's what I was going to – I was going to ask him about his Butler-Gonzaga matchup, you know, his Butler and Gonzaga pick for the Final Four.
Well, you know, I don't think anybody's going to probably this is probably the only way I'm going to ever be on the Doug and Daddy Show, when we're talking about basketball anyway.
Well, I'll tell you what, Butler was a bucket away from beating Marquette and going deep in this tournament as well. Well, Gale, I know we're making arrangements so that you can get the television, and we want to say congratulations, and most of all from us here at the Doug and Daddy Show, thanks for being a part of our bracket challenge, and enjoy your new TV, and make sure you brag a little bit to all your friends.
Already doing a little bit of that, and thank you very, very much. It's pretty exciting deal.
Makes a day at work on this Monday a little bit better when you can bring home the television. Gail, thanks so much for giving us a couple minutes, and again, congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. Gail Jones is our grand prize champion out of Hastings, the 50-inch HD TV from Russell's.
Awesome job.
Did you pull our brackets out too, Jeffrey, to see just officially how bad they actually were? Because as I'm thinking back on them, I was sitting so good Sweet 16, and I didn't get a single team into the Final Four, and I don't ever remember that happening.
Yeah, I didn't fill a bracket out due to my profession, I was looking at the bracket. I had IU. I mean, being a diehard, and then when they got beat and Kansas got beat, and it was definitely an interesting year. I think that when you had so much talk about New Mexico, Harvard gets them. You know, you had so much talk about Wisconsin. Oh, Wisconsin, they're doing it, they're doing it, they're doing it. I think that that just when you have teams in those seeded areas go down like that, and then you just started to kind of see, you know, obviously the way that Wichita State played, when you got a 9 making it all the way to the Final Four, that's a pretty – I mean, that's going to – there's a lot of upsets that have to go along the ways, you know. And so I thought it was a very interesting year. I did think that last night was a very entertaining game to watch. I did not think it was the best, most well-played basketball game I've ever seen. I did like the fact
really?
That – I did.
Really?
Yeah, I like the fact.
How can you say that? They shot over 50%.
No, I'm talking about from just the talking heads on CBS, which I'm so glad that I don't have to listen to Gottlieb or whoever it was. Who was it? Gottlieb, Charles, Kenny Smith.
Yeah.
They should just, I mean, I'm to the point where I just turn off the TV and don't listen to them at halftime. Turn on something else. But I'm talking about from the standpoint of, I love the fact that they let them play. There was some bumping and some, you know, there was some, but for the most, I'm not saying, I guess I shouldn't say bad play. I guess I should say they let them play. It wasn't a whistle every 3 minutes. They were able to get up and down the court. Was there some pushing and some you know, physicality going on in the game? I definitely think so. If you listen to Vitale this morning, he's talking about how the physicality has to be taken out of the game. And I thought that was one of the more entertaining games I had seen because they let them play. It wasn't a whistle because it's basketball is getting to the point where football is. You can blow the whistle on every rarely does someone get them completely clean without touching.
And there has been a lot of talk about the officiating this morning. And, of course, Omaha's John Higgins, UNK alum, was one of the three in there. His first, the lead ref had done this was his seventh championship. And the other gentleman, it was his fourth championship, and this was his first. They missed a couple of calls. As far as the physicality, I guess it is what it is because it was pretty even both ways. But I just don't like when you miss calls. I mean, there was a blatantly kicked basketball.
Oh.
There was the block on the Trey Burke shot, the Trey Burke block later in the basketball game. Those are the things that you hope don't happen in the game. But as far as them getting rough, yes, I think the NCAA will find a way to adjust this a little bit, but they have I'm serious. We talked about this 5 years ago. This is where it was headed. We knew this is where it was headed because they just kept letting him get away with another one. And when did the jump stop now become you can jump stop at the top of the key but somehow not dribble and get a layup? I mean, there are just so many things now that they have let go from a playground aspect that they've let it go, and now it's getting to the point where people are unhappy about it.
And I agree. I thought last night was an entertaining game because it almost seemed pickup basketball-like. It seemed like they kind of got out of their sets. They kind of started to ad-lib some things. They kind of started to just let their athleticism take over, which I love to see because I know some of those games to watch during the tournament, you had to just turn them off because it was a whistle every time the ball is put on the ground, there was a whistle. I mean, you know, the guys are in the bonuses with 12 minutes to go in the half, you know, in the double bonus type of thing. And so I enjoyed the game standpoint from that aspect. But I have to say that the talking heads at CBS are just – I am in nauseam over listening to those guys.
Well, poor Doug Gottlieb was trying to fit in. And his talk is more analytical than the other
Doug
guys.
Doug Gottlieb set himself back – as a professional, by trying to, if he would have just, Gottlieb's if you listen to Gottlieb's radio show,
oh, yes.
He is intelligent. He's got his facts straight. You're right. He dumbed himself down to be around idiots. I mean, he did. I mean, that's just the kind of the old. He made himself. He was the things that he was saying. Kenny Smith and Charles Barkley couldn't even comprehend. You know, and then you got Gumbel, who's just trying to make sure that he gets all the shows. Hey, CBS, this way. You know, he's just Gumbel's not adding anything except getting the television shows. In order of what
tonight
he's,
on David tonight, Letterman,
exactly.
David Letterman, and then the Late 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 Show with Craig Ferguson, and then the Late 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 Show with Damon Day. It's Doug Duda and Damon Day with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. 103 people in the Doug and Daddy Bracket Challenge picked Louisville to be the winner out of our nearly 350 entries. As far as the show goes, Jimmy Langan, co-host, had Louisville, so he finishes in that top where he's 37th. Producer Jeff, who had Florida to win it all, finished 119th. I had Indiana. I finished 262nd. And Randy Bushcutter, who picked New Mexico to win it all, finished 342nd. In fact, he was so close to the bottom that he bent over and touched it. So there you go, and we'll have Randy on tomorrow to explain himself. But the thing is, he knew he was out of it so quickly that, you know, his season was over 3 weeks ago. It's like the team that gets beat in the first round of sub-districts. They're ready for track, or they're ready, you know, they didn't make the volleyball, the football playoffs. They're ready for basketball and wrestling. So congratulations again to Gail Jones. Primetime finished in second. DSW 13 third. Hawkeye Chad was in a four-way tie here for fourth. Farmer Jim, Happy Gilmore, 24, and JCJ all in a tie for fourth. So congratulations. We will be contacting some of you. We will be sending more of you prizes from the Doug and Daddy Prize Vault from folks like Prairie Hills, Big Dally's Deli, Mid-Nebraska Speedway, also Godfather's Pizza, and Mountain Mud Espresso in Hastings. So, so many great gifts that we'll be sending out. And again, congratulations. One more thing on the officiating I'll point out here, Damon, is that there were two or three instances, because you brought up the scrum. You know what? They need to define, they need to, all the officials, when a jump ball is a jump ball and when a jump ball is not a jump ball. You can't come around from the back and wrap a guy up and get a jump ball, for God's sakes. I get it. I get it. That way, nobody really gets mad about that as a team.
Right.
Because they're not going to call the foul. They'll say, okay, we'll call a jump ball. It's like when the guy runs into the lane, and we've seen this more and more now. It's not a block or a charge. It's a travel.
Yeah.
It's a travel. We're not going to call block or charge. We're going to call travel. And that way nobody, you know, and then both coaches are left going, okay, we're going the other way.
Yeah. I did notice, though, that yesterday, just with the athleticism and the style of both guards for Louisville and Michigan, they did get out of control, which I think always puts the referees in a precarious position. Trey Burke is just flying head down, dribbling as fast as he possibly can, weaving in and out, not really under control. You saw Silva do it a few times. Silva went all the way to the ground. And I think that when you got guys who are just attacking the paint like that with that type of play, it puts the referees in a little bit of a precarious position, because it's like, they're really out of control. No one's really bumping. I mean, they're just that out of
air ball layup. Now, it might go off the glass, but I'm saying when you put up a layup or a running one-hander and don't draw iron.
Yeah, something. Yeah. Come on. Or the rake across the arm. Like, they missed a couple of that.
No.
They missed the one where, like, you could physically see the altering of the shot.
Michigan had a couple of those scissor threes that still went in the first half. But what about that? It looked like that little Spike Albrecht was going to be the stud of the tournament. He got 17 in the first half. He averages 2 points a game, and then he doesn't score the rest of the game.
Yeah, I thought Beeline, you know, was playing Spike over.
Burke was on the bench, so he had to bring him into full time. Now, I'm not saying that's
the second half, they took out the sharpshooter, Stavarius, I think it was, their 3-point specials, and kept Spike in. And like you said, they covered
him a little more.
Yeah, exactly.
And kudos to Beeline. Coach Beeline was class. He let them have pretty much all access. What he was saying to his players, what he said at halftime, what he said after the game, total class act. Again, somebody loses the national championship. Somebody loses the state championship. Somebody loses it every time. That doesn't mean you had a bad season. Michigan wasn't supposed to probably be there anyway, and they were, and it was one of the best championship games in recent memory.
How many do they lose? Michigan.
Players?
Yeah.
How the hell would I know? They were the youngest team in the tournament. So what, one?
Does Burke? One. Does Burke go?
Oh, as far as going go? Pro? Probably. Probably.
Burke, Hardaway, Robinson.
That could be kind of the mass exodus. That could be the mass exodus if they all decide to go. McGarrity ain't going nowhere. No. You shut your mouth. We're back on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Your buds ditched you again this weekend? It's okay, buddy. Cheer up and head over to Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's is a great hangout on the weekends. So watch live entertainment, meet some new friends, and you know what? If you pick up your phone and text Hams Live to the number 90210, that's Hams Live, all one word, to 90210, Cunningham's will send you your first cover charge for free. Now go have some fun at Cunningham's, located on 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
Terry Bradshaw here. In football, you can't win without a strong team backing you up. Today, I'm talking to Kevin, a licensed plumber, about how the team over at Ferguson, the leader for plumbing, waterworks, and HVAC supplies, gives him a winning edge.
Ferguson makes it easy. I order my supplies online and pick them up at my local branch or have everything delivered.
Plus, your online orders earn points for cool stuff like electronics and event tickets.
Yeah, ordering online saves me time, too.
You heard the man. Go check out ProPlus at Ferguson.com.
Crack open a case of Peak Motor Oil, and you know exactly what's going into your car. 65 years of experience in hot and cold protection, and a history of American-made quality to keep your engine running right for the long haul. Peak is an independent, family-owned business, nothing like big oil. And what gets our motor going is giving you what's right for your engine and your wallet. Find us on the shelf or visit peakauto.com. Peak.
The NBA on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com. We're heading into the final week of the regular season, and two Eastern Conference playoff teams go head-to-head in Chicago.
Anthony with a hard left-hand dribble down the lane to the glass, and a two-hand finish.
Carmelo Anthony and the Knicks face Luol Deng and the Bulls.
Over to Deng with three to the glass, laid it in.
The Knicks and Bulls, 7 o'clock Thursday, following the opening round of the Masters on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
A wind advisory is in effect for our area yet today, as some scattered showers mixed with sleet and freezing rain are possible around the area. Temperatures will also stay steady in the 30s, with north winds 20 to 35. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 25.
Doug and Daddy Show, Doug and Devin Day with you here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Hope you were enjoying the game in comfort last night. If you're not, maybe it's time to see the fine folks at Bruce Furniture in Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance, where they take care of the customer and have since 1977. They've been taking care of you for 36 years, where they have taken care of the customer by expanding to four stores. They can compete with the big chains because they can quantity buy, take care of the freight charges. You'll always get the low price, and they still maintain that small-town, family-owned business attitude of taking care of each customer individually. Whatever the color, whatever the price range, whatever the style, whatever the size, whether it's for your home, whether it's for your kid's home, whether it's for an apartment, business, office, they'll be there for you. You'll have friends in the furniture business who will work very hard to make everything just right for you. Do it in style and comfort without losing everything in your bank account, because they care about you and that small-town, family-owned business attitude at Bruce Furniture, Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance. Doug Duda, Damon Day. I guess let's just kind of recap it before we talk with Alex Myers here in about 5 minutes from Golf Digest to take a look at the Masters, which, again, one of my favorite times of the year. Love the Masters.
We'll go bucket list.
Kentucky Derby. Oh, it's just
can't do it till I retire because it's smack dab in the middle of baseball season, but that is by far one of the one places I must go.
Retire, huh? Think that's how it'll happen?
Or you get canned. I don't know. Maybe, you know, something I don't.
Schedule somebody from Georgia.
Get ejected in the first inning.
Michigan's roster, what, they got five seniors, but nobody we ever heard of, right? They played all the youngsters, so we'll see how Michigan. It'll be sometime today they'll put out that top
24th
for next year.
24th. Kentucky was picked one, and Michigan was picked 24th.
Wow. There you go.
Kentucky number one.
Overall tournament, I mean, we didn't hear Florida Gulf Coast brought up here in the last 8 days probably since their ouster in the Sweet 16. But what's a couple of moments from this NCAA tournament that pop right to the forefront for you?
I think the Ware injury. Not so much the fact that it happened or the gruesomeness of it. I think it was more just the how big it became, how big of a story it became, how big. I mean, that was one of those stories that, you know, people who don't even watch basketball were asking about what happened to it. What did you see the game? You know, people who weren't even basketball fans or even knew the tournament was going on heard about this young man's injury. And so, you know, I would say to me that that's probably one of the number one runs. I think the mid-major run is starting to not just be a flash in the pan. We're starting to see mid-majors being able to do it. I think that's a second big storyline. And so I think that, you know, for me, those were the two big storylines, was the Ware injury and mid-majors continually having success against, you know, supposedly BCS schools.
I think it was cool to see teams that had been number one go deep in the tournament. And even some of the qualms that we had or you heard about when the tournament started, like an Oregon getting a bad seed, they went through. But you still look at it, you mentioned it, the mid-majors. Outside of Wichita State, and you can't even call LaSalle a mid-major, these teams got knocked off. They got beaten. Nobody made a deep run in the tournament this year outside of Wichita State. And maybe that's the only one. Maybe that's all you should have. And I'm just talking like Sweet 16. You know, your St. Louis didn't do what people maybe thought they would do, and which I said, you know, New Mexico. There's another team that didn't do anything. VCU, one and done. San Diego State, one and done. UNLV didn't do anything. They got beat right away by Cal. Bucknell, Davidson. That's the amazing thing. Davidson should have beat Marquette, and Marquette was in the Elite Eight. So I think you see some of those near misses, some of those teams that were talked about early in the tournament really weren't there.
Yeah, but
not at the end of the tournament. They weren't really there the second week of the tournament.
Yeah, but I think I personally think Wichita State carries that banner. Now we've had George Mason. Now we've had Butler two times. We had VCU. There always seems to be that one that's getting up there doing its thing, which makes it perceived that the mid-majors are holding their own. But like you pointed out, not really. We're still seeing the majority of top 16s are majority of BCS schools.
ESPN's Chad Ford has an article up about Michigan's picks that thinks Trey Burke will be a lottery pick. And that Glenn Robinson will also be a lottery pick in the first round there. Then potential second round, Tim Hardaway. Wait till next year, Mitch McGarry and Nick Stauskas.
Stauskas was the guy who sat
says,
the bench.
You know, wait till next year. We're going to take a break. Alex Myers and talk a little golf. Not just a little golf. The Masters and Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. It's all coming up.
Come on in. Let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. I want to tell you about some exciting menu changes starting this month. From gourmet burgers and 8 flavors of real New York-style buffalo wings to prime Nebraska beef and barbecue brisket smoked in-house. I also want to remind you we have the perfect spot for private dining. So whether it's Tommy's birthday party, Sally's going away party, your company Christmas party, or you just want to bring the gang from work down for a drink.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Peak Motor Oil and Antifreeze give you 65 years of experience in hot and cold protection, packed with American-made quality to keep your engine running right for the long haul. Now we're looking for the next stock car star with the Peak Stock Car Dream Challenge, where someone's going to win a brand new Toyota truck, and someone else could be Michael Waltrip Racing's next development driver. Check out everything we're up to at peakauto.com. Peak, run true.
Terry Bradshaw here. In football, you can't win without a strong team backing you up. Today, I'm talking to Kevin, a licensed plumber, about how the team over at Ferguson, the leader for plumbing, waterworks, and HVAC supplies, gives him a winning edge.
Ferguson makes it easy. I order my supplies online and pick them up at my local branch or have everything delivered.
Plus, your online orders earn points for cool stuff like electronics and event tickets.
Yeah, ordering online saves me time, too.
You heard the man. Go check out Pro Plus at Ferguson.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers.
on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney know health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A wind advisory is in effect for our area yet today, as some scattered showers mixed with sleet and freezing rain are possible around the area. Temperatures will also stay steady in the 30s, with north winds 20 to 35. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 25.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. In the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, and Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Folks, right now, the incentives for a brand new vehicle is as good as you are going to get all year long. And now, again, they're going to tell you, the general dealers are going to tell you they've always got great deals. And that's why they've got hassle-free pricing day in and day out. But when the manufacturers step up, you save even more from the Midway Auto Dealerships at Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac. Huge news this month, offering incentive rates with approved credit, and you get to also have the Midway hassle-free price. Silverado 1500's 2013 model, up to $9,500 off and 1.9% for 72 months or 3.9% for 84 months. If you want a 2013 Ram 1500, up to $9,000 with your qualifying trade and 1.9% for 72 months or 3.9% for 84 months. It is all there for you at the Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, and check them out on the best website around, thinkmidway.com. Well, we are excited, Doug Duda and Damon Day, to move on from basketball to the Masters. It's just one thing after another, and we are pleased to welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio from Golf Digest, Alex Myers, to preview the Masters. Alex, thanks so much for the time. How are you this morning?
No problem, guys. How you doing?
Well, we're doing great. Let's jump into it because, I mean, when it comes to golf, we can talk about every man in the field. But right now, it looks like weather's good for practice. Everybody's at the course, and the storyline is Tiger. Let's get your thoughts, maybe even your pick right off the top, just to kind of take our trend one way. Are you on the Tiger bandwagon, or are you elsewhere?
I am on the Tiger bandwagon. Of course, I was on it last year also when he had finally gotten over his drought of winning on the PGA Tour. But now it seems like he's really back playing near the levels that we used to see. Six wins in his last 20 events. And this year the main difference has been his putting. He actually leads the tour in strokes gained putting. And that win at Doral, he had the fewest putts he'd ever had in a tournament for him. So, you know, he it's all systems go right now, and I think that's why he's currently about a 3-1 favorite in Vegas. And for a golf tournament, that's almost unheard of, unless you're Tiger Woods back in 2000.
He's back there. Obviously, the same list. Brant Snedeker was playing so well at the start of the year, got tweaked up a little bit. Mickelson is always there. You've got Luke Donald, who's looking, and he's paired with Tiger this week in the first two rounds. That just came out. And Rory McIlroy, maybe he was going to be left for dead, except that he played well on the weekend last weekend. Your thoughts on Rory?
That's right. I mean, you know, he got off to such a sluggish start, and, you know, you blame it on the equipment, the changing of Nike maybe, or maybe you just blame it on too high of expectations now that he's, you know, clearly established himself as the number one player. But this last week, I think, was really positive. And what was interesting was that he just made even a last-second decision to even play last week. So had it not been for that, you know, his mindset would be so much different coming into this week. But definitely having a runner-up finish, I don't care what the field is on the PGA Tour, that's, you know, something to hang your hat on. And he's got to be coming and feeling a lot better than he would have been a couple weeks ago.
Alex, Damon Day here, and diehard golfer. And we were during the break, we were talking about just how going to Augusta would be such a special trip and something for an avid golf fan. As a guy who's been there, for someone who has never been there, what's something about Augusta that you just don't get from the CBS broadcast?
Well, the thing I always say is, two things, really. A, it's actually even more beautiful in person, if that can even be possible. It's just stunning. I'm standing behind that 12th tee and looking out to that par 3. I mean, you just try to take a photograph in your mind to keep with you. It's just that stunning. But the other thing, when you are walking around, the elevation changes there really don't show up on camera, especially on the 10th hole, on the 18th hole. If you've been walking around, following a particular group or just kind of, going around checking out action at different parts of the course, by the time you the day is at the end, you're tired. It's a good walk, but obviously very enjoyable and just a spectacular place to watch an event.
Alex Myers, Golf Digest, with us here on Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. We know it's different for everybody that covers the tournament and the fans / patrons for the Masters. How is it different for the players? Can you sense a difference in the way they approach this as opposed to any other major or any other golf tournament?
Yeah, well, obviously the four major championships are what any player gears up to, but this one's special just because, it's the first one of the year. You have that long period between the last major of the year, the PGA Championship, and then this. So you have guys who are just can't wait to get out there and play this week. And then also, of course, this is the one major where they play at the same course every year. So, there's guys like Phil Mickelson and obviously Tiger who, know that they can play this course and had great success here. So there are guys like that who can't wait to get back to this event in particular. And then maybe there are other guys who, don't have as great of a track record there, but and aren't as excited. But, it's still the first major of the year, and it's been on everyone's minds for months now.
Talking with Alex Myers here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Bubba Watson, defending champion. He's paired with Ian Poulter and the amateur champ. And it seems like the story, at least from the first day or two here, is that everybody's trying to go over to 10 and watch or see the spot where Bubba hit out of last year. Where is Bubba at, and what are the chances that he could even be in contention on Sunday?
Well, Augusta historically is set up well for left-handed players. Mickelson's done great, and obviously Mike Weir even won 10 years ago, his only major. So, and then Bubba last year. So, it's a course that seems to suit a lefty's eye, and someone like Bubba with his length, playing a course that's been lengthened so much these past few years, it obviously doesn't bother him. And as we saw last year, as you mentioned, the spot on 10, you can be a little wild off the tee and you can recover. I mean, maybe most people couldn't have recovered like he did from that particular spot, but it's a course that definitely sets up well for him. He's off to a little bit of a slow start this year. He's got a lot of other things going on. He's kind of become one of the faces of the game. Last week something came out. He has a hovercraft golf cart now and I'm doing all these other crazy things. And, I think a lot of the attention has been what is he going to serve for the champions dinner tonight? So, he's got a lot of things going on and he's, it's tough to see if he's always taking the golf seriously, but he's going to take it seriously come Thursday. And based on his performance last year, you'd have to say that, you can't be surprised if he'd be back in contention on Sunday.
In the last few Masters, you go all the way back to Zach Johnson, Trevor Immelman, Cabrera, Charles Schwartzel, Bubba, kind of no-name guys or guys for the casual golf fan who's only watching because it's the beautiful golf course. Who's a guy like that you think might be his year to kind of put his name earn that green jacket?
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Well, last year Bubba was a little more of a household name, but right, obviously this win elevated him. But the guy he beat in the playoff, Louis Oosthuizen, he had already won a major, but he's still kind of flying under the radar. And despite the fact that he's sixth in the world right now and was the runner-up last year, I don't think he's getting enough attention. But someone a little further down the line is, I like a guy like Freddie Jakobsen, you know, Swedish golfer who he's already had, I think, three top tens this year. He's always one of the best putters on tour. And, of course, at Augusta, that's really what you need to fall back on. And he's played pretty well in majors the past couple of years. You know, again, another guy under the radar, but, you know, he's top 25, I think, four of the last five or six majors, T19 at Augusta last year after not qualifying for a few years in a row. So he'd be a guy that, you know, the casual golf fans certainly wouldn't recognize his name, but maybe they'd recognize him by his little painter's cap. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see him play well this week.
One of the stories that will be talked about, because it is so unique, the Masters has its youngest player coming over from overseas, from China, and I think it's Juan Tinlong. He's been over there for a little bit, came over, and Nick Faldo has kind of tried to adopt him a little bit and give him a chance. He won the Asia-Pacific Amateur last fall. How much buzz is he getting, and what are the boys in the tent saying that he's going to shoot? What's the over-under on his score on Thursday?
Well, the thing I've heard is, you know, predictably, he's not as long as most of these other guys out there. He played a practice round yesterday with Tiger Woods and Dustin Johnson. So actually, maybe those aren't the two guys who you should really measure him against, because they can bomb it. But he was apparently way behind them off the tee, but it sounds like he had a great time and is enjoying the week. I think at the end of last year, after he did qualify, he played in a few pro events and did struggle to break 80 a couple times. So, you know, I don't think much is expected. Certainly, if he even had a chance of making the cut, it would just be beyond phenomenal. I mean, you got to keep it in perspective. The Masters announced they're going to have a drive, trip, and putt contest next year for kids ages 7 to 15. This guy could still qualify for that next year. So, I mean, and he's in the field this week. So, yeah, it's a pretty cool story.
What would the average handicapper shoot at Augusta? I mean, what does the average five handicapper shoot at Augusta?
Oh, man. Well, from the back tees, I would say it would be less than 50% that they break 100.
Yeah.
I would say their short game would have to be on that day, you know, scrambling to make some good bogeys to keep it under 100.
Just a couple minutes left here with Alex Myers, associate editor of Golf Digest. This is always the fun part. Throw out a couple of names. Let us know where you're at, because there are so many guys that play well at the Masters, don't necessarily are studs everywhere else. But Stricker seems to be one of those favorites, but maybe he's not playing right as well right now. And Lee Westwood had seemed to get very close the last few Masters. What about those two guys?
Well, Stricker, you know, at least his bread and butter is the putter. And obviously Augusta, you know, that's where you can really kind of separate yourself. Stricker's an interesting case just because he's really limited his schedule. He doesn't play much. It seems that when he does play, he's able to kind of crank it up. But, you know, when you get to this age and you've never won a major, you know, it's kind of tough to see that he would break through here. But if he were to break through at any major, I would think Augusta would be the place. As for Westwood, he got up to a kind of a sluggish start this year. He's taken a step back in the rankings, you know, after he was the guy who replaced Tiger a few years ago at number one. Again, putting is not his strength. So of all the majors, I would probably think that this would be the least likely for him to break through. But certainly a player of his caliber, it's tough to imagine going through a whole career and not winning a major. So, you know, you just never know with someone like that.
Couple other guys that Americans seem to love to follow. Matt Kuchar, he's been close. He was there last year, couldn't close the deal. And I'm hearing from some of the experts on TV and reading Golf Digest that maybe this course sets up well for Keegan Bradley. What about those two?
I agree with both of those guys. I mean, Kuchar would definitely be one of my five favorites this year. I think he's, you know, he wasn't always the best under pressure, but in these last couple of years, he's really built towards becoming a major champion, especially with his win at the Players last year. And you know, like you mentioned, being right in the hunt at the very end at Augusta last year. So he's definitely one of my guys. Keegan Bradley, a lot of people are picking him because of his high irons, his right to left ball flight, And as he's shown under pressure in some of the biggest events, of course, at the PGA Championship, but also at the Ryder Cup, he is not afraid of the spotlight. And, yeah, I mean, those are definitely two guys who are easy to root for and, you know, certainly should be considered among the favorites this week. But as you mentioned, there are so many guys out there right now. I mean, if you look at the world rankings and you look at a guy like Hunter Mahan, who's ranked 21st in the world. I mean, just think about that. There are 20 guys ranked ahead of a guy as good as Hunter Mahan. That just shows you the depth of the Pro Tour right now.
Jason Duffner, the everyman, the guy who you might get paired with him on a Saturday down at the local Muni. But how is Duffner playing so far this season?
You know, Duffner, his breakout year was last year. He hasn't been playing as well this year. He's actually grown in stature with this whole Duffnering craze that happened a couple of weeks ago. As you mentioned, he's just kind of a, you know, everyman guy, easy to root for. He was a 36th hole leader here last year, though. So, you know, despite the fact that he's not known as a great putter, his strength moral-wise in his iron game, he definitely showed that last year he could be in the mix. But, you know, it would take a little bit of a turnaround because, as I mentioned, he hasn't gotten up to the quickest starts in 2013.
Finally, Alex Myers from Golf Digest. Have they done any changes to the course that's going to drastically affect the scoring this weekend? Fans like to see that 9, 10, 11, 12, and just as soon as somebody right. pops a 15, then the next year it's like 2-under wins it. So what are you expecting? And are there any major right. changes?
Yeah, no major changes this year. You're right. There were a few years in a row where the course got a little tough, and you know, I think there was a little bit of a backlash. Maybe they grew the rough up even a little more, and we didn't see those exciting finishes that now we have those seen the last couple of years. So I think it's back to that kind of a tournament where, you know, you kind of hang around, and then Sunday someone has that opportunity to make a big move, particularly in the back nine. I just hope. I've heard that, you know, there's a little bad weather in the forecast for Thursday and Friday. You just never know with that type of stuff how a big rainfall could affect the course. Just hopefully, you know, it doesn't. And hopefully, if it does, it's kind of even for both sides of the draw. But we should be in for a great weekend. And, you know, the Masters usually delivers come Sunday.
And you're picking Tiger?
I'm picking Tiger. I know, not really sticking my neck out there too much. But, yeah, I'm going to stick with it.
Well, Alex, we really appreciate you giving us some time. We always love the Masters, and hopefully the weather's good Thursday and Friday so we can sneak out of work and watch some of it. So
yeah, that's right.
Enjoy it, and thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for having me, guys. Enjoy the golf. Take care.
Take care. Alex Meyer is gracious with his time from Augusta as they get ready for the Masters.
You watched the Masters with somebody.
We should have asked him, who'd he hate? Who's gonna? Yeah. Who's the big guy that's going to stink? But yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
You watch Masters with your buddies, don't you?
Well, as much, both of them usually.
Do you ever have, like, I sometimes watch it with, you know, for my father-in-law or my brother-in-law if we're on an off weekend or something. And I always laugh when they're like, oh, come on, you got to make that. And you like golf, you know what I mean? Like you've golfed with them or, you know, like, oh, I bet you I could hit it that far. No. Yeah, you know, it's like when you watch golf with somebody, you know, it's what they're doing is nothing like playing out at Meadowlark or you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I could do that. No. I've golfed with you 100 times.
I know Lachlan's tough, but no, it's just not happening. Looking at some tee times here that have just come out, maybe some interesting matchups for you. Tom Watson is going to go at 7:44. Are these Eastern or Central times? Did you get Jeff?
I believe they're Eastern.
Okay, so they tee off at 7 in the morning. Sandy Lyle, ex-champion, John Peterson, Nathan Smith in the first group. Tom Watson will play with Ryan Moore and Kevin Streelman. Then you slide down. Lee Westwood, Mike Weir, Jim Furyk are in the 8:06 group. Brant Snedeker is going to play with Justin Rose and Yo Ishikawa right after that at 8:17. Charles Schwartzel, Webb Simpson, Peter Hansen, the interesting major winner field there at 8:39. Zach Johnson, Graham McDowell, KJ Choi. That would seem to be a good group that they fit together. We told you Bubba Watson, Ian Poulter, Stephen Fox, the U.S. Amateur Champ. Tiger Woods will play with Luke Donald and Scott Piercy. Ricky Fowler's with Jason Day and Padraig Harrington. And then you kind of get into that, that's right in the middle. And then at the very end here, look at these last three groups. At 12:30, Phil Mickelson, Louis Oosthuizen, and Martin Keimer. The group after that, Rory McIlroy, Keegan Bradley, and Fredrik Jakobsen, who was the guy that Alex Myers just talked about that might be the so-called no-name that you haven't heard of. And then the last group, Jason Duffner, Matt Kuchar, Bill Haas. I will tell you this. I'm high on Kuchar. And I know you can play well out of that, but I don't think there's an advantage. I think it's a disadvantage to go off late on Thursday.
I completely agree that you got guys that are going to be taking a lot of time. It's their first walk around the course. You know, you already have time permissible issues and whatnot. You always are probably, you know, what if it gets long and then you start to get that? You don't want to be the first guy out to finish. You don't want to have to come out and finish on a Friday. And like I always like to say, with those greens, and some of the, I mean, people have to remember, most of these guys still wear spikes.
Yeah.
I mean, talking.
Chewing them up a little bit.
Yeah. So when they're that fast and you get to them that late and that bumpy and that crispy, I think that definitely hurts Kuchar's run at a Masters.
Because then they turn around and play a little bit earlier on Friday. We'll see. Let's get her done. Let's move it on. The only thing that would be good about that, I think it's never any fun to be deep into your round when a weather delay comes in.
Yep.
And then you have to come back, finish. Especially if you start early Thursday, you don't get through. You got to come back Friday, then wait around for your next tee time, your Friday tee time.
That is a good point. That if the weather does come, then they are in a great spot. But they'll end up maybe having to play two rounds in a day, too.
Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Will it be golf? Will it be NCAA basketball? Will it be something different? Maybe all three. It's all coming up after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Lose 30 pounds in only 3 weeks? Really? If you're frustrated with outrageous weight loss promises, Complete Nutrition is about to change that. Try Refirm, the first ever and only weight loss product on the market that actually shrinks fat cells.
This is Dr. Lisa Stout. I'm excited to tell you about the breakthrough weight loss product from Complete Nutrition called Refirm. Refirm does something you've never experienced. It actually shrinks fat cells, and that means losing weight and fitting into your clothes faster.
Refirm revs up energy and metabolism, but also shrinks fat cells. Hurry into your neighborhood Complete Nutrition store while supplies last. Please note, if you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, visit your Complete Nutrition store to adjust your plan.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
And now, another great hit from Flo. Discounts from Progressive are good.
Why is a strike bad in baseball if it's good in bowling? And then someone told me about a basketball strike. That sounds bad, but I'm not quite sure. But I think we all can agree it's good to get discounts from Progressive.
Progressive offers lots of discounts to help you save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states.
Ah, the sound of small business, getting busier. Can you tell which one is using AT&T? Truth is, they all are. Because businesses of all kinds can find AT&T customizable plans that fit their exact needs. Whether it's broadband, mobility, or nationwide voice, at AT&T, we can help your business get humming.
I need more receipt paper, please.
Call 1-855-877-4288 today and ask about special offers available for new small business packages. AT&T.
Dial Global's coverage of the 2013 Masters begins April 11th.
He's dressed in all white, and he's 6 inches away to having a green jacket put on that all white. And he strokes it in, and Bubba Watson has won the 2012 Masters with a brilliant par at 10.
From the first round to the presentation of the green jacket, all the action is right here.
Hear action every day, beginning at 1 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
A wind advisory is in effect for our area yet today, as some scattered showers mixed with sleet and freezing rain are possible around the area. Temperatures will also stay steady in the 30s, with north winds 20 to 35. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 25.
We're gonna party like it's the end of the world. We're gonna party like it's 2012. You know that it doesn't matter as long as we got each other. Turn it up, mash it up. It ain't the end of the world. We're
and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Damon Day with you. A time for our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Here's a baseball question we had for you. How much weight do you put on a Major League Baseball team's performance in the first week of the season? A little, a lot, or none?
None.
None. You voted with the public. 65% said none, 29% said a little, and only 6% said a lot. I said a little because there are some things that you see in week one that end up a month down the road. You go, you know what? This was a problem in week one. This was happening in week one. I mean, the Cubs replaced their relief pitcher, and the Royals should in week one. Their closer. I mean, you got some things like that that are out there. And then maybe you got a Boston Red Sox who, when we were making our predictions, said there's no way they can both be out. And I still don't think I took them both. I should have took Boston. But anyway, they're off to a good start. And maybe that carries on. I mean, especially for these teams that aren't supposed to do any good, they've got to get off to good starts. You don't see cellar dwellers start, you know, 10 and 22 and then make a run.
Right.
To start off hot like the Pirates did last year.
You know, that's what makes you nervous as a Royals fan is everyone right now sitting around going, here we go again. Nothing different. Here we go.
If their closer keeps giving up ninth, that's just incredible. But another win for the Royals last night. So after starting 0-2, they're 5-3 5-3, I believe. And congratulations because they should have that win streak rolling along.
But I think that when you have a closer that's so iffy, I think that just wears on everybody. You know, if your closer's not just a lockdown and it's always by the seat of your pants, that makes you nervous.
Code red, that guy.
Did you see the Tampa Bay Rangers game last night?
Yeah, and you know what? That looks like a strike all the way until the last fall off the table 2 feet. I mean, you sit there and that's the kind of call I would expect in September where you're just going, God, I'm tired. Oh, but yeah,
how
much
bad
you can
is
do.
That? That was one of the worst calls. I don't know. I was like, did you see Joe Nathan's? If you don't know what we're talking about, go to YouTube and look at it. Last night, the Rangers finished off the Devil Rays, and the strike three call to end the game was nowhere near. Nowhere near the strike zone.
He almost smothered it on the ground. Big old sweeping breaking ball on 3-2. The batter puts his hands on his head. The umpire admits afterwards, after seeing the replay, I probably missed that one. But it was the last. It ends up being the last pitch of the game. Kind of hard to argue when everybody's running off the field.
Yeah, I think Madden got ejected. So Madden will actually be ejected for tonight's game.
Is that the story?
That's how you do the post-game ejection. You get done. You're dumped for the next one. Now, it may have been
never
such
heard of a post-game ejection.
It may have been such an egregious call that they forgot that we really didn't eject him because I'm that bad. But I mean, for an umpire to admit he's bad is a bad call. I mean that bad call.
Let's go to our Midtown Mark Cooler question for today. Who will get the final playoff spot in the NBA's Western Conference, the Lakers or the Jazz? The Jazz have just 4 games remaining, and they're up a half game. The Lakers have 5 games remaining. The Jazz have the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Minnesota Timberwolves at home. Then they go to Minnesota, and then they play the Memphis Grizzlies. So that's at least 2-2, if not 3-1. And then on the other side, the Lakers host the Hornets. They go to Portland. They host the Warriors. They host the Spurs. They host the Rockets. Lakers go 4-1 in there. They're going to have to go 4-1, aren't they? I mean, they're going to have to go 4-1. If the Jazz go 3-1, then the Jazz get the tiebreaker. Lakers going to have to go 4-1. You know what? I'm going to say the Lakers. I don't know. That's my vote. Midtown Mark Cooler question. What do you think?
Miami Heat.
No. No.
LeBron James.
Who you got in the Masters since you probably won't be back if you're playing baseball Thursday?
Oh, that's what's great about the internet and iPads and Wi-Fis and everything else. We'll be able to watch it on the bus. My wife's teaching class right now, so I can say it. Tiger Woods. I have, 3 boxes of Tiger Woods stuff that I wanted to give my son, you know, all the cool stuff from 2000 and, all the ball containers and just posters and pictures and just everything about Tiger Woods. And then he went out and had some infidelities and made him the most hated man in the world. So now that all that stuff that I wanted to give my son sits in a box that I can't give to.
He'll get his own hero.
Yeah,
Exactly. If that becomes valuable someday, money-wise, I wouldn't even say
that he was my hero, but just as a, you know, because golf is such a hobby of mine, it's probably it is the one thing I do that's not baseball related. Golf is my one thing, and to watch him when he dominated and know how hard the game is to play, oh, that is just amazing to me. The things that he could do in the stretch that he was on was just, I mean. I golf almost every day during the summer. It's part of my exercise routine. I get up, I go, I do it. I'm okay at it. But it's just amazing how, you know, one day you're pure in it, and the next you're sideways. You don't even know what's going on. And this guy just kept winning and winning and winning. So he's always been an amazing and just never satisfied. I mean, I think that's part of the reason why he's gone up and down and because of all the swing changes. I mean, what if he would have just kept the same swing and dominated everybody? That's what I think about. You want to tweak stuff.
Well, evidently, he wouldn't be this good. I don't know. Let's do Troutman's Tuesday Trivia to wrap up the show today. If you've not won in the last 2 months, you are eligible for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, 888-455-ESPN. That's 888-455-3776. And we'll ask you a trivia question. If you get it right, a $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats. And how about Jack Hoffman, man? How about that story? How great is that?
Cool sports story.
Best of the best. He's on again the Sports Center this morning.
Coolest sports story of the year. I think it may have been one of the most awesome things, and I even said it to my wife. I said, I'm a diehard Notre Dame fan, but what Bo Pelini and the Huskers did for that young man and did for the state to bring awareness to that childhood disease is probably – I mean, it made me, it got me, it was awesome.
The more you watch it, the more you choke up. So.
Yes, it is
And hopefully
awesome.
Things work well. He's on a two-week hiatus from his chemo in his 60-week session. They thought it had kind of gone away, came back. It seems like things are as good as they can be right now. And again, when you're talking brain cancer for a young man that was six, now he's seven. You just don't know how that's going to end up. So what a deal. And hopefully, like you said, they don't sensationalize this through the media, but that it becomes something that will help the cause. Let's get back to Troutman's Tuesday Trivia and go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Name's Dwayne.
Hey, Dwayne. It is Masters Week, so let's start with a Masters question. Here we go. This former champion took a lot of times for this guy to win a Masters. Our trivia question is, which player competed in the most Masters before winning his first one?
Let's go with Phil Mickelson.
Phil is a great guess and close, but not the right one. It took him 12 tries to win it, and there are a few people that took longer. Try back, 888-455-ESPN. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, who are we chatting with?
Brandon.
It took this golfer more attempts to win his first Masters than anyone else. Who was it?
Fred Couples.
It is not Fred. It took him 9 chances. Try back, 888-455-ESPN. This is not a trick question, 888-455-3776. It's Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
Jason.
Jason, it took this golfer the most attempts to win his first Masters.
Payne Stewart.
Not Payne Stewart. Try back. Payne did not win the Masters. 888-455-ESPN. That's okay. Hey, well, I'm just saying. It's a guess. It was a golfer. Let's stay with Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. A couple of more here. Who are we chatting with?
It's Dwayne again.
Dwayne, you got the quick finger. What's your guess? I'm going to give you the same question.
Seve Ballesteros.
It was not Seve. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Our phone number for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia today. Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Steve,
how's it going, man?
Good.
I'll tell you what, I'm about ready to change up the question, but I'm not going to do it to you. Who has the most appearances in the Masters before winning their first green jacket?
Tom Watson.
Not Tom Watson. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-37. It took Tom 4 chances. It took Ballesteros just 4 chances to win their first Masters. Who are we chatting with?
This is Dean.
Dean, you want golf or you want baseball?
I'll try golf.
Who has the most? Who has played the most Masters before winning their first green jacket?
How about Billy Casper?
Oh, what an outstanding guess. Second longest, though. Try back. He took him 14 chances, Billy Casper, when he won it in 1970. There was one person that was in more Masters before winning it. Who are we chatting with?
It's Nick.
Nick, who has played in the most Masters before winning their first green jacket?
Bubba.
Not Bubba. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. And let's stay with Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
This is Mike.
Mike, you want golf or you want baseball?
I have to have baseball.
Baseball. Wow. Okay. Here we go. Here's your baseball question. This Major League Baseball team, as of this moment, has the most wins on the season.
Let's go with the White Sox.
It is not the White Sox. They are 4-2. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. We've got golf. We've got baseball. NCAA basketball might have to break out that question. Who are we chatting with?
This is Greg.
Who has played in the most Masters before winning their first green jacket?
Greg Norman.
Not Greg Norman. Try back. 888-455-ESPN.
You're getting them.
I guess
today.
I got a tough one today, Damon.
I knew it was a tough one. I knew that he's so obscure and had such a short burst of fame and then back out of it. I mean, he was the Toyota guy for a year.
Oh, good Lord. Here we go. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia.
I'm trying to help out everybody.
He's throwing a few clues out there. Our Troutman's Tuesday Trivia question is, who played in the most Masters before winning their first one? What's your guess?
Mark O'Meara.
There it is. Somebody had to look that up, but that's okay. 15 tries. Who are we chatting with?
Chase.
All right, hang on the line, and producer Jeff will get you hooked up. A $25 gift card coming your way. Congratulations. That's the problem. Sometimes you got to change up, but it was a good question.
You know,
Mark O'Meara 15 times before he won it in 1998.
And you know what? I truly think that his friendship with Tiger reinvigorated his game.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
Because him and O'Meara was Tiger's big-time mentor when they first got onto the when Tiger first got onto the tour.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time. And the answer to our other question, the Atlanta Braves are 6-1. Yep. They have the most wins in baseball at this time.
Which day are you making your Masters choice? Wednesday? Tomorrow? Or is it a big announcement? Is it on Thursday's show?
I like to do it on Thursday just because it is the Masters, and I know that it'll already be going, but I will have made my choice by then.
And it really doesn't matter who's 2-under by the time the show goes on.
It doesn't. So probably Thursday on the show will be Masters selection day. So that's where we're going. And, most everything because of the weather called off today. Don't forget the women's basketball championship tonight between Louisville and Connecticut. Who you got? Connecticut 7-0 with the fight in the finals.
I got Baylor. Brittany Griner.
Yeah, outstanding. Yeah, well done, well done.
I hope Louisville does it. I think that it's cool. Louisville and Louisville both winning.
That would be pretty
Plus,
cool.
I don't like Gino Auriemma.
And it's happened just once, and it was Connecticut.
In 2004?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So, hey, folks, we want to thank Alex Myers from Golf Digest for joining us on the show today. And congratulations to our Doug and Daddy Bracket Challenge winner from Hastings. Gail Johns brings it home. Gets the 50-inch HD TV from Russell's. So congratulations. He joined us at the top of the show. Tomorrow, Brady Bonzel for our Loper Link. And need I forget, and I will not, Danny Woodhead joins us on tomorrow's Doug and Daddy Show. Former North Platte Bulldog, Shadron State Engel, been with the Jets, been with the Patriots. He's now signed with the San Diego Chargers. Danny Woodhead among our guests on tomorrow's Doug and Daddy Show. Damon, have a good one, man.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
See you tomorrow.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.